The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you.
Oh
my goodness, that was great. I love actually having people in-house that I could talk to, and I hope peace is with you also online. Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Pastor John, and I'm so glad that you are here with us today as we continue, actually end our series on Reset. Now, I've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it. And we've talked about really the gospel for Soma, right? Like, what does the gospel for Soma look like? What does that look like for us? And really, how does the gospel shape the things that we do and the way that we talk about life? And I want to continue to really kind of land the plane on our gospel as a whole and walk through what it means to grow to be like Jesus. What it means to grow to be like Jesus. As a matter of fact, here's what I'm going to do. On the screen, you're going to see it. I want to read for you our gospel statement. I want you to say it along with me. If you're at home, I want you to read it on the screen and say it along with me because this is a gospel statement that really shapes our church as a whole. It's our 112 words that we believe is the gospel of Jesus Christ for our part of the world where we can push out the darkness and bring in the light. And so read along with me as you see it on the screen. It says this. The kingdom of God has come, and Jesus, God the Son, is King. He became human to live a sinless life, died the death I deserve for my sins, was buried and resurrected in accordance to the scriptures, and ascended to heaven. He is our mediator and atoning sacrifice. By grace, God the Father saves all who through faith repent of their sin, believes the gospel, and follows Jesus. No ritual, work, or any other activity is required in order to be saved. It is power of God the Holy Spirit that enables us to genuinely and joyfully do what is pleasing to God while growing to be like His Son. And it's that last statement that I want to focus on today. See, last week we talked about Him being our mediator and our atoning sacrifice, right? We talked about the idea that He is our in-between, a tweener, if you may. I got a tweener right now, one that's in between childhood and teenage years, and I'm dreading and trying to hold on to these years. I got a little bit left, right? And so He is our in-between, our mediator in between God and man. The only mediator, not me, not your priest or anybody like that, but Jesus is that only one out of 1 John 2 and 1. And if you missed any of the messages, if you're online, you can literally click off and go back on our YouTube archives. We have them all there for you. But here's the thing, guys. We want to talk about what it means to grow to be like His Son. What does it mean to grow to be like Jesus? I've had a few newborn babies in my hand. And here's the thing I've known about newborn babies. One, they're all furry in weird ways. Like they all smell about the same. They all make about the same thing. They're all going to surprise you with pee and or poo. That's what newborns do. They all scream bloody murder. They all, but they're the cutest things on earth. They really are. They are cute. They're beautiful, and I love holding them. But here's the thing you have to do with any newborn. If you've never held a newborn, especially men, I need you to look at me right now. You have to support their head. Okay? Their heads are huge. Every newborn I've ever met has a watermelon up here. It is ginormous head, like a cantaloupe. And you don't know why, but their necks, I don't know why God made it this way. Actually, I have an idea. But like their necks aren't strong enough to hold this huge head. It's kind of ridiculous. And here's the thing. The primary reason, I was looking at science, and they said the primary reason that a newborn's head is so large in proportion to the rest of their body is while the adult skull, our skull as adults, is about 1/8 of the total length of the body, a newborn's head is 1/4 of their body length. Yeah, I thought I was playing. His head is huge. Every time you see a newborn, you're looking at their head, you have to support it. Men, you have to support the head. Don't let them do that kind of thing. It's not a good look, right? So support the head. But here's the thing. In life, the body of a child grows much more rapidly than the head until they reach proper proportion. The body has to grow to catch up to the head. As a matter of fact, by the time a child reaches 5 years old, the heads are approximately the same size they will be when they reach adulthood. Isn't that kind of crazy to think about? By the time you're 5, your head is about the same size it's going to be for the rest of your life. Matter of fact, your bodies will continue to grow for the next 15 years approximately, but your head will not. What's that about? You see, it seems like Paul may have had this picture in his head when he was, writing the book of Ephesians. It seems like the Apostle Paul thought about this. And when we got into Ephesians, especially in chapter 4, he actually said this. This is Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 15. In verse 15, I want you to stand, even if you're at home, I want you to stand as we read in the honor of reading God's word. And we hear it this morning. It says this. Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint, which is equipped when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's the word of the Lord. If I were to have one thought to centralize everything I'm going to talk about today, it's this. I'm going to throw it on the screen so you can see it at home. You guys can see it here. It says this. Jesus Christ requires us to develop both a vertical and horizontal relationship with other believers, a vertical relationship with him and a horizontal relationship with other believers. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you so much that you teach us how to grow, and you even use our human bodies to show us how to grow. To grow to be like you, Jesus, our head, our very life. Father, I thank you that we, the body, have the opportunity to grow to be more like your son. And that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will instruct us, guide us, and help us to do so. Convict us now. Move us now. Shape us now and help us to be about your business and growing towards you so that we can change the world completely. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O God, my strength and my Redeemer, in whom I trust. And all God's saints will say, amen and amen. You may be seated. So listen, guys, the idea that we need a body is nothing new. Matter of fact, if you're watching at home and you're kind of going, this church is a weird name. Let me just tell you real quick. The name Soma literally means body. It literally means body. The idea is that you, everybody, has a place in the body of Christ. You have a place to be in the body of Christ. And I want you to find that place and then live it out. And it's important because Paul starts stressing this idea all the way back in verse 7. He began to describe the process where Jesus receives certain special gifts of the ministry, and turns out he gives them to the church. He says, here are the gifts. I'm going to give them to the church. And he does so that these gifted people can equip all of God's people to carry out the work of ministry. In other words, if you're an evangelist, you probably have heard that word maybe. And if you've heard that word, if you're an evangelist, your job is not just to evangelize. Your job is to teach the rest of us how to do it. If you are a prayer warrior, we got some prayer warriors, your job is not just to pray all the time, and you're good at it, thanks be to God. Your job is to teach us how to pray. Help us to have a prayer life. It's to equip the whole body to do the work of ministry. Matter of fact, Jesus' purpose is that the entire body matures to become more like him. The idea is that the entire body matures to be more like him. This is in verse 14. Paul takes one of the most frequent side trips, and I love his side trips. He's kind of runs down these rabbit trails, right? And he says, here are the distinct contrasts between a follower and those maturing in the faith and spiritual infants. He says, if you're a spiritual infant, this is what you are, who are unsustainable and easily deceived. But now Paul, as he often does, returns to the original premise. He gets back to the point he's trying to drive home, and he stresses once again the need for the body to mature. The body to mature. And the picture Paul uses here is the need for the body is to grow up into the head, where we started. He says, you need to grow up into the head. Just as our human bodies need to catch up to our heads from a quarter to an eighth, right? We need to catch up. Those who are spiritual immature also need to grow up in order to match the head, Jesus, of their life. If you are a baby Christian, you're staying a baby Christian, you need to grow. Matter of fact, say that with me. You need to grow to be like his son. That's the reason why that statement's in our gospel statement. We don't just stay spiritual infants. We grow in every aspect of our spiritual lives. We are commanded to grow. We should be growing in order to match the head of Jesus Christ. In order for that growth to occur, there must be a horizontal and a vertical dimension to it. There has to be a horizontal and a vertical dimension that must be nurtured at all times. And without both a connection to our head vertically in a relationship with others horizontally, you will not grow as Christ has called you to grow. You won't grow. Now, most people don't know this about me, but when I was born, I was born with my legs completely turned in. I was pigeon-toed, if you may, completely turned in. They actually had to break my hips and my legs to reset my legs. And I had these braces. I had these braces on my legs. And my mom hated it because I would kick all those little beds and everything around. I hated my braces, so I would just kick them over and over and over. And they had to adjust them. They'd go back and they'd reset it. And occasionally they had to re-break the bone to get it to set right because it kept growing back in. And it's kind of crazy because that corrective action helped me to grow to be like the man I am today, which is a beautiful thing. But I remember Dr. Mills. Even when I was a young man, he was my pediatrician, and his son was one of my best friends growing up. Dr. Mills will say, "This young man's going to grow to be big." And my mama used to say, "Well, how? We had to put braces on his legs and break his legs, and he had to waddle out, like all this weird stuff that doesn't seem to match up with he's going to grow big and tall and be strong." But he was right. He was right. I did grow up to be big and tall and strong. He was right that my growth plate was going to have me to grow in the right ways, but there had to be corrective action to get me to do the things I needed to do so I could grow vertically. He had to work in a community horizontally between my parents and himself and others so that I could be corrected so that I could grow up vertically to be the man I am today. See, Christ says, listen, I got to correct you vertically, but I also want you to work horizontally. It's not just you by yourself. It's not us four, no more. No, no, it's all of us. Christian, if you are by yourself and not connected to a local body, you're not going to grow the way Christ called you to grow. How do you grow into the head? Well, let's talk about the vertical connection. Can we start there? It's really the most important one as a Christian. We have that vertical connection to Jesus. And the first thing we observe in this passage is how crucial our relationship with Jesus is, right? It's crucial, and it's crucial in our process of growth in life. He is both the goal of our growth, and he is the source of our growth. So let's give you that first point right here. He's the goal of our growth. He's the goal. He's the one we strive for. He says, we will in all things grow up into him as the head, who is Christ Jesus. We saw in our passage that the goal of our growth is to become like Jesus. I got a best friend. I call him Jesus' little brother because he's grown up to be like Jesus. I look at him. I go, dude, I wish I could be like you when I grow up. He's younger than me, by the way. And I he amazes me. And I call him Jesus' little brother because he's grown up to be like Jesus. That's what our goal should be like. He's the only standard by which we can measure our growth, not other people. A lot of times I want to look over here and go, man, I'm not as good as Dan. That's not my standard. No, Dan's amazing, man, but that's not my standard. My standard is Jesus. That's the only one I'm to measure myself against. Are we growing to be like him to attain the measure of his fullness in our life in all things? You see, it seems like Paul is setting the table here for what he's going to write in the rest of this letter, beginning in verse 17. Paul says that all things he writes about in this passage includes every area of our life. The rest of this letter, matter of fact, he covers your thought life. Oh, everybody got quiet on me there. That's okay. He covers your thought life. What you think about. Whew. He talks about the way you speak to others. Even in your head. He talks about the way you treat others. Especially online. He talks about your family life. I know they're ratchet, but you still got to love them. They're yours. He talks about your work life. Are you lazy at work? Are you actually doing what you're supposed to do? Do you even have a job? Are you looking? Are you trying? Are you just kind of like, meh? He talks about dealing with Satan and his attacks in your life, and they will come, Christian. In every one of these areas of our life, Jesus is to be the standard by which we measure our maturity. So here's the question. How do you measure up? I know, as Americans, we want to be like, I measure up really, really good. But let's be honest now. I've seen some of your Twitter feeds. How do we really measure up? How do we measure up? He's the goal of our growth. But at the same time, I'll give you the second point, it's this. He's the source of our growth. That's a beautiful part about Jesus. See, Jesus says, I'm the goal, but I'm going to help you get there. Oh, I love that. Jesus says, I'm the goal, but I'm going to help you get there. I love the fact that I have a Savior that doesn't just leave me hanging and expect me to get to where he is. He said, let me help you. I'm the source of your growth. He says, speaking the truth in love is what we just read. Speaking the truth in love. There's this. This is another scripture that seems to be taken out of context quite often. I can't deal with this. When I talk to somebody and we're correcting them about their sin and they go, are you speaking the truth in love? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, yes, I am. Yeah, that's why I can talk to you that way, because I love you, right? I love you enough to tell you to your face. But here's the thing. You can't also use it just to justify being critical to other people. Because some people want to be critical and be like, well, I'm just speaking the truth in love, brother. No, you're being a punk. Stop it, right? Like there's a level here that we can do it. I think the writer of one blog actually said this really well. It says this: as a matter of fact, most often when I hear somebody saying, I'm just speaking the truth in love, I can be fairly sure that it's not about love or truth, but it's frequently about manipulation, control, and some distorted, egocentric, ideal truth that really isn't truth. I like the way they put that. You see, when Paul uses that phrase here, he's not dealing so much with how we speak to others, but how he's making a contrast to what from what he had written in verse 14, where he described the spiritual infants who had been deceived by teaching that clearly was not truth. And he says this, his point is that truth keeps us from being deceived and remaining spiritual infants. Let me say that again. Truth keeps us from being deceived and remaining spiritual infants. In fact, more than just speaking the truth that Paul has in mind here, the word literally could be translated truthing. Literally, he's like, I'm truthing you. Which I know a lot of times we're like, truthing. But that, you know, it's kind of like adulting, right? Adulting really isn't a word, but we've made it a word. But Paul here is making up another one. Truthing. I'm truthing you. I'm truthing you in love. The picture around the word is one who continually and consistently not only speaks the truth, but also lives the truth in love. That means everywhere they go, they live out that truth. But what's Paul? What is the truth Paul is writing about here? That's not hard to figure out if you look at it. All we have to do is go back to an early point in the letter. Matter of fact, if you want to turn your Bibles over a couple pages or maybe one, it's on Ephesians chapter 1. We'll just go to verse 13. He says this, in him, everybody say, in him, you also have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What's truth that he's talking about? Jesus. He's saying the source of your truth, Jesus. The source of your growth, Jesus. When I'm speaking in truth, I'm speaking in Jesus. That's the beautiful part. The truth that Paul's writing about here in chapter 4 is the same one that he talked about in chapter 1. The gospel of our salvation, Jesus. The good news. That's the beautiful part about this. That gospel is clearly centered around Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ. And it's only in Christ that we can find truth. When you're speaking truth in love, we're talking about Jesus here. That's why Jesus described himself as the truth here in John 14 and 6, right? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And Paul makes that same point again a little bit later in 4:21. Go back to chapter 4, verse 21. It says this, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus. Jesus is the truth. So speaking the truth in love is merely another way that Paul described the importance of making Jesus Christ the truth in the center of and the focus of everything you do, Christian. Of everything you do, Christian. And just in case we missed the point, Paul describes this principle for us one more again in verse 16. He says this, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint, which is equipped when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Who holds us together? Jesus. He's the source of all things good. In our human bodies, our head, our brain in particular, is the source of the growth. As a matter of fact, kind of funny, it's one of the smallest parts of your brain called the pituitary gland. It's this gland that's in your brain that really helps you to grow. And sometimes, like, if you go back in the old school, they have these giants, guys that are like 8, 9, 10. You think about a Goliath in the Bible. Probably had an overactive pituitary, very honestly. Like, it's probably a medical condition. They'd be like, well, we can do something about that. Like, that's really what happened to him. That's why he ended up like 9 feet tall, right? So that's what causes growth. But in the church, the head, Jesus Christ, who is clearly not only the goal of our growth, but the source of our growth. But our relationship with Christ is not sufficient in itself. No. Our relationship with Christ and our growth is not sufficient in itself. Now, some of you guys are going, Pastor John, that doesn't make sense. You said that Christ is sufficient in all things. It is. But Christ said, in order for you to grow, I need you to have a vertical and horizontal relationship. You see, a lot of times we have these really deep relationships with Christ vertically, but then we have nothing here. Nobody out here knows us. And Christ says, you have to have both. Our relationship with Jesus isn't sufficient in itself for the body to grow properly. In order for it to occur, we must develop our relationship with others. We have to develop our relationship with others. Well, why is that? That seems so counterintuitive. You know, it's just me and Jesus and nobody else, right? I'm just me and Jesus. I'm at home listening to worship music on Spotify. Just, ooh, Jesus. But no, it's so much more than that. No, Jesus says, I equip you to go out into the world. He calls the church his bride. He sends us to do work together. It is so much more. Matter of fact, he says this. I'm going to go back to verse 16 because I think Paul hit something so beautiful. Read it with me. It says, from whom the whole body, he ain't just talking about yours, the whole body joined and held together every joint which is equipped when each part is working properly. Notice he says each part, not your part. Each part. That denotes multiple parts. Okay, so he goes back. Each part is working properly. It makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You can't be on your own. There are no 007 Christians. I love James Bond, but you can't do it by yourself. Even he has a team. We all work together as one. We all grow together in one. And you see, this phrase is rather difficult to translate into English. I was kind of doing some of that this week. You'll find all kinds of different translations depending on the way it is, and some of them render it differently. But regardless of translation, Paul seems to be emphasizing once again the importance of believers being connected within the body. The word translated joint, the Greek word comes from a word that's meant to connect. It's always used to describe those places in our body where one part connects to the other, where the hip bone connects to the leg bone, where the leg bone connects to the, right? Like that's, it's that same concept. It's where you connect, and certainly describes another word we would call a ligament. That's actually a really good translation there, a ligament. It makes connections. It holds it together. My wife, she had an accident at work and tore her ligament in her leg on her knee and had to have surgery for it. Ask her what it's like. If you ever run into her, ask her what it's like when that ligament's torn, what it feels like. You see, when the Christian is outside the body of Christ and not being held together by Christ, when that ligament is torn off, there's a certain amount of pain. Now, here's the thing you got to know. She went 4 months walking on that thing. Eventually, she got used to it. I mean, there's still a sharp pain occasionally, but she got used to the pain until it got fixed. And then she's like, oh, that's what it's supposed to feel like. Oh, this is better. Matter of fact, the doctors fixed it that morning and then said, start walking. It was so frustrating because I remember, like, I thought they were going to, like, have her in surgery, have her lay down, rest, relax. Nope. They were like, hey, get up. Go ahead and walk to your car. I was like, oh, my goodness. And it's funny because I see Christ doing the exact same thing to us. He puts you in the Bible and immediately goes, time to get up and start walking. You're like, nah, man, I just got in here. I'm good. I just got connected to the people. And he's like, yeah, start walking. Time to get up. Might want to go on a jog. You're like, no, why? Hey, can I stretch out or something? Can I do a little? No. Time to get going. You see, that's the funny part. He wants you to be connected in. He needs you to start working immediately. Why? So that the body can grow up. Because without you, the body was in pain and not working well. But he says, Christian, when you're connected to the body, we grow up. Matter of fact, Colossians, Paul writes in Colossians in chapter 2, verses 18, 19, says this, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels and going on in details about visions and puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. But he keeps going, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. He says, hey, some of y'all are connected to all these people that got visions and miracles and doing all these things out here, but you're not connected to the body of Christ that's growing up through Jesus Christ. What are we doing? But I had a vision last night. Great. Are you connected into the body of Christ that's growing in Christ? But I healed somebody. Great. But are you connected to the body of Christ that is growing in Christ? right? I got a word for the Lord. That's great. Are you connected to the body of Christ that is growing up in Christ? Or are you bifurcated? Because there is no such thing. You see, there's the issue here, Christian. Where are you connected in? In fact, in the passage, Paul once again emphasizes the importance of the vertical and horizontal connections. Those unspiritual minds are lost. They've lost their connection to the head, Jesus Christ, their connections to other members of the body. He pushes against that. And that's exactly what happens in the body of Christ when we lose our connection to others. The body can no longer function properly. The body is unstable and it cannot grow. We can't mature as Jesus intended us to. So how do we make sure that we maintain those connections within the body? How? Paul answers this in the last part of our passage. I'm going to read it again. Verse 16. I'm going to beat this dead horse. Here it is. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every point in which is equipped, in each part working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. We should all know by now that Christianity is not a spectator sport. I don't understand those Christians that are like, I sit on the sidelines and watch. I hope you guys know. Bro, that is not Christendom. It is not a spectator sport. Paul carries the idea a step further here. He's emphasizing the body can only grow as it is intended to grow when the body effectively carries out the purpose for which it was created. What is the purpose for which you were created? In other words, there's an emphasis here on the quality of our ministry. But the quality is not measured against other people, but rather it's measured by the gifts that God has given us. You don't believe me? Go to Matthew 25, right? You go to Matthew 25 and literally you have the owner who gives the talents out. He gives 10, he gives 5 here, he gives 2 here, he gives 1 here. And people are like, oh, well, that was okay. I got to get my talents. I got to double them or use them. And we have all kinds of interpolations. But here's the thing we miss over and over. You notice he didn't go, hey, you with the 2, how come you didn't make as much as the guy with the 5? No. He wanted to see what 5 did with his 5. He wants to see what 2 did with his 2. He wants to see what 1 did with his 1. And so many times we look at everybody else and go, but I ain't got 5, but I ain't got 2, but I ain't got 1. And Jesus says, what did you do with what I gave you? That's the question. What did you do with what I gave you? Notice it doesn't go well with the dude with 1 who buried it. The dude who buried it, he was like, oh, you wicked servant. He said, well, hey, I'm going to give you back your ducat real quick. He was like, nope, wrong move. What did you do with what I gave you? Did you bury it? Did you use it? Did you push forward the kingdom of God? Jesus made the same point when he taught his disciples. Go to Luke 12, verse 48. It says this, but the one who did not know, he did what deserved a beating, received a light beating. And everyone who much was given, much will be required. No, Spider-Man did not say that first. It was Jesus. Going back to that. Okay. And from him who will be entrusted, they will demand more. They will demand more. Jesus has entrusted some of you guys with 5 talents, and he expects everything out of those 5 talents. He's given some of y'all 2 talents, and he expects everything out of those 2 talents. And some of y'all got 1 talent sitting in the side just soaking, like, I ain't got 1 thing, man. I'm going to put this over here in my little safe and keep it till Jesus comes back. And Jesus said, what you going to do with it? What are you doing with it? He asks you to be faithful with whatever he has given you for the body of Christ writ large. He will never compare you to anybody else. That's not Jesus. That may have been your parents. That may have been your grandmama or your auntie. That may have been you yourself in your head. But that is not Jesus. So let's not get it twisted. He doesn't compare you against it. The whole idea is everyone is doing their part. It's nothing new. In fact, there's numerous examples of that all throughout the Old Testament. That's why I tell you to read your Bibles. I mean, go back to Exodus 35 and 36, the building of the tabernacle. Everybody bought something to build a tabernacle. Everybody bought their part. If you had skills, if you were a carpenter, if you could chop wood, if you could build some fabric, you could sew, everybody did their part to build the tabernacle. Go to Joshua 6, the Battle of Jericho, right? The walls came tumbling down. You know who was involved in that? Everybody. Everybody was involved. Every able-bodied man marched around that thing 6 times until it came down. I thought it was beautiful. And the 7th time, what do? They all shouted. They all stomped. They all blew the trumpets. They all worked together. Go to Nehemiah 3 when they need to rebuild the wall. Nehemiah didn't go, you know how to rebuild the wall? He said, man, come on. Everybody did. With a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. So you worked, but you were ready to fight. Everybody was involved with that. Everybody was given responsibility in a different section of the wall. And if the threat came, we went and took care of that threat and came back to do our job. Are you willing to do your part? You see, the key right here, the key to maintaining a horizontal relationship with others is to make sure that each one of us does our part according to what Jesus has given us. We all have to do our part. What is your talent that you have? If you're taking notes, here's another point for you right here. We take care of the vertical and horizontal relationships. Growth is automatic. If you take care of the horizontal and vertical relationships, your growth is automatic. Well, Pastor John, that seems like a guarantee. Well, I'm going to go back to verse 16. Let's see what Paul says. From whom, y'all like, are we back here again? Yes, we are. From whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When babies are born, they don't make an effort to grow, do they? No. As long as they eat what they're fed, they don't have any kind of illness or deformity or anything. Growth occurs naturally. That's it. Growth occurs naturally. We've seen the pituitary gland releases growth hormones that causes the body to grow. And this similar process happens in the church. When we're properly connected to the head, when we're properly connected to each other, we maintain our connection to the body, and we do our part, growth happens. When you are being fed, Christian, when you're being fed on a regular basis out of God's word, when you are supping from what God has to give you, when you're worshiping him and feeding your soul, when you're doing what he has commanded you to do and using the talents he's given you, you will grow. You grow. You don't have to worry about it. Conversely, however, we're not properly connected. We miss it. There's no program or plan or ministry or book that can produce growth and maturity when those connections are broken. And so many times we want to rely on all that stuff to get us to that point where we go, well, this will, no. Connect to Jesus. Connect to his body. Use the talents he's given you and you will grow. If we're going to grow into the head, we have to do it together. We need each other, and we're only going to be able to grow and mature like Jesus wants us to if we all do our part. So let me give you the soul tattoo again, because I want it to really marinate with you. I want you to kind of process it. It says this: Jesus Christ requires us to develop both our vertical relationship with him and our horizontal relationship with other believers. He requires it to. By the way, notice that word, requires. It's not an option. If you call yourself a Christ follower, it's not an option. I got my little man and he's learning. He's starting to learn in our household what's expected, right? And so when I leave the house, I always look at my boys and I go, come here, boys. And they come up here and they give me big daddy hugs. That's when they squeeze me as hard as they can, which is hilarious. I'm going to regret that one day when they get older, but for now, I love it. And so they squeeze me as hard as they can. I look at them and I go, hey, what do I expect of you? And they go, protect your girls. I said, protect my girls. All right, I love you. Give them hugs, give them kisses. I even do that with Jefferson the dog now. Which I got a growl out of him the other day. My goodness, it was great, right? So like they protect the girls. They know when daddy's out of the house, protect the girls. I was like, yes, great job. That's what I want. He did it yesterday. I was leaving and he goes, I protect the girls, daddy. I said, my man, good job, little man. Good job. Well, why? He understands that growing in my household, growing in the household of the Nelsons, if you may, is automatically your job is to protect the women around you, to love them well. That's called a part of the thing. He cleans his plate now and he goes, daddy, I have a clean plate. Well, why do you have a clean plate? So he goes, so I grow big and strong like you. He shows me his little muscles. I'm like, yeah, that's right. If you do the things you're supposed to do, you're going to grow into what we expect you to grow into. Jesus says, listen, when you're connected to me and connected to others, you're going to grow into the type of Christian that you've always wanted to be and I designed you to be. Are you willing to do that? Or are you going to let excuses stand in your way? You see, as we come to the end of this, I just want to challenge you. Because maybe there's some of you this morning that are connected to the head. You're connected to the head. But you've never responded to the truth that the only way to God, that you haven't really placed your faith in him. Like, you're like, I like Jesus. He's a cool idea. But I haven't really placed my faith completely in him and said, you're the master of my life. And maybe today's the day. Don't leave it here today. Even if you're watching online, you're at home. Don't leave it here today. You need to make a commitment. In a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make that commitment, to lead you in a prayer so that you can begin your relationship with him and be solely and solidly connected to the head. But maybe some of you are coming here for the first time and you've never made a commitment to be a member of a church. At Soma, we have what we call covenant membership, and we're going to have a class as soon as we can open up the doors again and get people back in here. And we're going to talk about covenant membership, what it means to be in membership in a church. And some of us that are watching online are like, well, I'm a member, but I really haven't been doing my part. I hope this convicted you that you need to use the talents you have within our body to help us to grow. Some of you just need to commit. Some of you need to jump down and go, okay, I'm in. I don't know what that looks like for me, but I'm in. I have talents. I'm willing to give them. I'm going to jump in. Because when you use those effectively, we'll reach people. As a matter of fact, if you're watching online right now, it's because of the talents of people around here that they've chosen to use that you're able to watch. They've been a blessing to you right now. So right now, I'm asking everybody to bow their heads. Even if you're home, bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you, as you close your eyes, to begin to think of the commitment you need to make. Whether you need to commit to a local church and a body so those horizontal relationships begin to grow. Maybe you need to commit to the first time for a vertical relationship so you can connect to Jesus and say, I'm yours, use me and give me the talents I need to serve your kingdom. Or maybe you're connected to both, but you're just like, I just need to step out and actually use the talents. But right now, I want to invite everyone, especially those that have never committed their life to Christ, to do just that. If you've already made that decision, I just want you to be praying for those that could be making those decisions right now. Matter of fact, if you want to connect to God through Jesus Christ, I'm going to lead you in a brief prayer right now. And you can silently, or even if you're home, verbally out loud, repeat the words after me. Now, these words aren't magic. They're not. But if you mean them from your heart, then Jesus will respond and your life will be forever changed. You can say it with me. It says, Dear God, I admit to you I'm a sinner and that my life doesn't measure up to your holy perfection. I'm sorry for my sin and I want to turn my life around. I am trusting in your death and resurrection and ascension of your Son Jesus is the only satisfactory payment for my sin. Based on what he's done for me, I ask that he would be my mediator, my atonement, my forgiver. And I commit to make him the master and Lord of my life. Thank you for adopting me into your family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.